Well, it'll be interesting. It's obviously going to be a hotly debated issue. I know there's going to be members of that committee that feel very strongly on both sides. We've already heard from some of those committee members. And so on Tuesday, a lot of people will be tuning into that live stream to see how that plays out. The Public Health Committee in the House is going to be really one of the battlefronts for the state battlefronts for the federal health care bill that was just passed. Representative David Meek's bill models some of the legislation that's been introduced in other states, such as Missouri, where it passed overwhelmingly when it went up for a ballot vote. So there's certainly going to be a lot of public pressure on these committee members and then on the House members and then the Senate when it makes its way over there, if it does, to vote for this bill. There's also going to be a lot of minutiae that's going to go through both the Public Health Committee and the Insurance Committee, and just how do we implement the different provisions of the federal health care bill. A lot of people get caught up in David Meek's bill, and it's certainly going to be one of the main focuses, but there's going to be a lot of small bills. It's almost going to be death by paper cuts as we see this work its way through.
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be a lot of testimony for about 2 hours, and at the end of that meeting, I won't be surprised if members just table a vote and ask for some more information, which means we'll get to do the whole thing over again at a later date. Could you see a scenario where the House and the Senate pass this bill, either out of allegiance to it or fear of it, and it goes to the governor? And if that happens, what would he do?
Well, I think it's likely that it will pass both houses of the legislature. I think there's many state legislatures that simply either don't approve of the federal health care bill or are scared not to vote for this ban on the mandates that are part of the federal health care bill. And so I think you'll see them vote for it. The argument that's been made against it is that it may not be constitutional and it may not be upheld if it was challenged in court. So some of the members who might be reluctant to pass the bill may go ahead and decide to vote for it anyway because they think, well, it's going to get struck down when it gets to the federal court. So what's the harm in going ahead and passing it at this level? So I think it will pass. Governor Beebe, he could go either way on it. His veto doesn't carry a lot of weight. The veto really just sends it back to the House and to the Senate to get voted on again, where a simple majority vote can override his veto. So he may speak out against it and then in the end just allow it to pass without his signature.
All right, on budget issues, this week we saw House members kind of buck up and reject it was a little less than 2% pay raise for judges and prosecutors. That was really a relatively kind of easy vote since those salaries are so high. Still to come, however, a 1.86% pay raise for state employees. That has a much bigger price tag to it, roughly $22, $23 million. Does this cost of living adjustment get cut?
I think it's likely that it will. We're reaching the point now where these lawmakers who've run on the promise to cut spending and to reduce the size of state government, the rubber's now meeting the road, and the test is being put into whether they'll actually follow through on those promises. There's not a whole lot of areas to cut in state government, even though it's obviously very, very massive in its size. When you start trying to trim this and trim that, it becomes very difficult. Salary increases is one of the quickest ways they can do that and do that quickly. You saw them trim $500,000 with this bill this week. I think they'll most certainly look at that across of the full spectrum of state employees as well.
Do you not think that $23 million is going to be part of the basis that Republicans and even some Democrats use who want more tax cuts? Is this not going to be part of the savings that they've been challenged to find to support further tax cuts?
I think it'll be part of it. The governor has been clear that if you want to pass a tax cut, you have to identify cuts in spending. So they've really been challenged to do that. And so now if they're actually able to go in and follow through and find some cuts, then that gives them more flexibility to try to get some tax cuts passed and not have it be vetoed by the governor.
Jason, which of the additional tax cuts beyond the governor's half-cent grocery tax cut do you see having a good chance for real consideration?
You know, the ones I hear talked about the most are the tax on used cars. I think it's possible they'll either do some things with the exemption level there. It's only at $2,500, which is a very small amount. They may perhaps raise that exemption level. The other tax cuts I think that have the best chance of passing are ones that have the argument that it would spur economic growth. Obviously, the economy is struggling right now, so any sort of argument you can make that this tax cut will help bring economic growth to the state, I think stands a good chance of passing. And so I think you'll see some tax cuts that are targeted at businesses and bringing businesses to the state.
On a less serious note, but somewhat in that vein, the Pandora's box was opened this past week, I guess you could say, on changing the state's motto or nickname from the natural state to the land of opportunity, back to the land of opportunity, actually. Care to frame the debate for our listeners and viewers?
Sure. And, you know, David Sanders, Representative David Sanders, has made this really one of his signature issues. He came out of the box with wanting to change the nickname. He's been very outspoken on it. He's found some interesting colleagues that have joined him in this. Skip Rutherford, Dean of the Clinton School, has joined him in supporting this, spoke out in favor of it at the committee, gave a very impassioned argument about changing the nickname back to the land of opportunity. In the end, the committee wasn't completely convinced that it would have a zero impact on the state revenues. Representative Sanders argued that because his bill didn't require any changes, such as the changing of license plates, that the revenue impact would be zero. But they wanted to see some official reports from DFA before they voted on the bill. It'll probably come back up for a vote. I think they'll see a little bit of tweaking in what he originally proposed. It may make it out of committee after some additional tweaking.